Spirit need, and you. Oh, yes, I love that man in the middle. Because I know he first loved me. We give all praise to the man who died on Mount Calvary. Oh, the middleman made it possible that I could go free.
Amen. As they play that, why don't you greet one another and spread some of that love to your neighbor this evening? God bless you. Just praise him. Once more, all together. Sometimes hallelujah, sometimes praise the Lord, oh, sometimes gently singing our hearts in one accord, oh, sometimes hallelujah. Sometimes praise the Lord. Oh, sometimes gently singing our hearts in one accord once more. Oh, sometimes hallelujah. Oh, sometimes praise. Sometimes gently singing our hearts in one accord. Sometimes hallelujah. Sometimes praise. Sometimes gently singing our hearts in one accord. Amen. I believe our hearts are in one accord. It's great to be out in the house of the Lord tonight to praise Him. I'm on my way.
to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way. Praise God, I'm on my way. If you don't go, I'll journey on. If you don't go, I'll journey on. If you don't go, I'll journey on. I'm on my way. Praise God, I'm on my way. I'm on my way to higher ground. I'm on my way to higher ground. I'm on my way to higher ground. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way. Praise God, I'm on my way. I'm on my way to higher ground, to higher ground. I'm on my way to higher ground. I'm on my way to higher ground. I'm on my way. Praise God, I'm on my way.
Amen. God bless you. As we go to prayer this evening, I have a couple testimonies to share. A testimony from Brother Jackson Bryant. He said, my allergic rash is completely gone. Praise the Lord. Glad to hear that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Also have a testimony from Brother Joseph Sargent. I got great news from the doctor on Tuesday. I wanted to give God huge praise. It's a miracle. God is truly powerful. That's all in caps. I like that. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen. What a wonderful testimony. Thank you for sharing that with us. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Amen. He's worthy. Amen. Appreciate that. As we go to prayer, please remember Brother Tony Templeton's family from South Carolina in prayer. He passed away due to complications from cancer. Also have an unspoken prayer request for Brother Jared Beletka from Utah. Please remember Sister Sargent in prayer. She sprained her ankle. And Sister Anna Pierce asked that we remember her uncle, Frank Dabney. He wanted us to put in a prayer request for him at church tonight. His blood pressure has been really high. The doctor is wanting to put him on blood pressure pills because they're afraid he might have a stroke. So he wanted to pray that his blood pressure comes down normally. Amen. So, amen. God's able to do that. Please remember Brother Nathan's sister, Debbie, in prayer. She's not feeling well tonight. Please pray for Brother Joe Reynolds' family. Their daughter was killed in an automobile accident today. She's a 16-year-old young lady. He's a minister in Arkansas, so what a terrible tragedy. Cannot imagine what they must be going through, so definitely want to take that before the Lord in prayer. From Sister Treasure Bryant, please pray for me on Monday. I am having to get a tooth pulled, so we believe God will help her through that. And Sister Tina Bryant said, please pray for me. I have been battling a sinus infection for about a week, but she's over here at church testifying over healing. So, amen. God's able to take care of that. So if you have an unspoken prayer request, just make that known to the Lord by an uplifted hand. Amen. Brother Jimmy, would you come pray over these prayer requests? Sure, it's good to see Sister Patty here tonight. Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a privilege, Lord, it is to come into your presence. Father, my heart goes out to the one that lost the daughter. Father, I wouldn't know how to react to that. But Father, you're the comforter. You're the great one, Lord. You do all things well. Father, we ask you to go to that family, Lord, and just as we speak, Lord, just to reach your hand of mercy down to them, Lord, and comfort that family, Lord Jesus. Father, many sick and afflicted. Sister Tina, Lord. Sister Teresa, Lord, with her ankle. Father, it's just Satan roaming around like a lion, Lord, seeing whom he can devour. But, Father, you're greater.
Amen.
Father, we trust you, Lord. You're watching over us, Lord. You see your eyes upon the sparrow, Lord. You see us when we fall, when we falter and fail. And we ask you, Lord, to just forgive us, Lord, of our shortcomings, Lord. But, Father, we ask you here tonight, Lord. We give you the uttermost seat. We come here to glorify you and to praise you for all you've done for us, Lord, what you're doing, what you're going to do, Lord. Father, may we lift you up. We ask you to be with Brother Nathan, whatever be on his heart tonight, Lord Jesus, that we would be able to receive something from you, Lord, that we would go out of here just better, Lord. Lord, to serve you better, to do better, to yield to you, Lord, give our whole hearts to you, Lord. And Father, each and every request, Lord, we give them all to you, trusting that you'll move upon each and every one in your sweet, holy time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. If the brothers would please come at this time.
Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name. My Jesus, let's bless that wonderful name of Jesus like no other name I know. Oh yes, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. No other name I know. Oh yes, there's freedom in the name of Jesus. There's freedom in the name of Jesus. There's freedom in the name of Jesus. No other name I know. Oh, there's salvation in the name of Jesus. Salvation in the name of Jesus. Salvation in the name of Jesus. No other name I know. Oh yes, there's healing in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. No other name I know.
Amen. God bless you. This evening we have a special from, let's sing that as they prepare. Sister JC and Brother Jared Prakash as we prepare for their special.
Let's bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of my Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus, like no other name I know. Oh yes, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus, like no other name I know. Oh yes, there's healing in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus, like no other name I know.
Thank you.
Amen. Sure appreciate that. God bless you. We also have a special this evening from Brother Columbi. I hope I said that right. He's visiting with us, so if he prepares to come, go ahead, brother. Yeah, God bless you. It's good to have you with us. Amen. Sure appreciate that special that we just heard. Appreciate them sharing their talent with us. God bless you. What a great song.
God bless you. I'm going to sing a song which you know, Wings of a Dove. Yeah. You can have more. Noah drifted on the flood many days. He searched for the Lord in various ways. Troubles he had some, but not from above. God gave him his son. Oh, on the wings of a dove. Amen. On the wings of a snow white dove, God sent down his pure sweet, a sign from above, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove. Amen. Jesus, our Savior, came to earth one day. He was born in a stable, in a manger of hay. Though he rejected, but not from above, God gave us his son. On the wings of a dove. Amen. On the wings of a snow white. God sent his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, oh, a sign from above, on the wings of faith, again, wings of faith, on the wings of faith, snow, white dove, God sent his pure, sweet. A sign from above, oh, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Though I have suffered in many a way, I cried for him. Both night and day, faith was forgotten by the Father above. He gave me his son, he gave me his son, on the wings of faith. Amen. On the wings of a snow white, God sent you sweet, a sign from, oh, a sign from above, on the wings of a, again, wings of a dove, on the wings.
more to sing that chorus. On the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends His pure, sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove. Why don't we stand this evening? Just as we prepare for Brother Nathan to come, you just pull on that gift. He's put in his time and studied, and I believe the Lord has something for us tonight. You just pull on that and receive. Amen. Let's sing this before he comes.
Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Oh,
your desire this evening.
Dear Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Oh, pure and holy, tried and true. It's with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Amen, brother. I wanted to thank you for that special. Sure appreciate you sharing that with us. Want to greet all of our visitors and welcome them to the house of the Lord.
Sweep over my soul, oh sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul, and all my rest is complete, Lord, while I your feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.
Maybe you could just slip your hand up and invite him.
Oh, sweep over my soul. Oh, sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over. Sweep over my soul. Oh, sweep over my soul. Oh, sweep over my soul.
Let's sing this together tonight. Oh, just shine on me, Lord, shine on me. Oh, let the light From your lighthouse, let it shine on me. Lord, shine on me. Lord, shine on me. Oh, let the light from your lighthouse shine. Oh, is that your desire tonight? Lord, just shine down on us. Oh, shine on me, Lord, shine on me. Oh, let the light from the lighthouse, let it shine on me. Lord, shine on me. Lord, shine on me. Oh, let the light from your lighthouse shine on me.
Amen. Truly, that should be our desire. Amen. As Brother Furman was singing a few moments ago, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. That's truly my desire tonight. Not a sanctuary that people could see Nathan Bryant or learn more about him, but a sanctuary so that God could work through us as individuals, not just the pastor, not just the Sunday school teachers or the song leader, but so that God could work through each and every one of us as vessels, as a sanctuary that God could come and make himself known to others through. Amen. I believe that's our desire tonight. Romans chapter 12, if you turn with me, we want to continue to look at this thought of yield. If we can all just yield tonight, I believe we'll be able to have church. And I just want to say I'm not sure exactly what the Lord has in store for us, but I will say that I have never felt the presence of God so strongly from my office as I did just a few moments ago during the worship service. So I believe that he's here tonight already. Amen. And we're here. And so Brother Branham says when two omnipotents meet, that something is going to take place. Now, if we said that out in the nominal world, they might think, what on earth is this guy talking about? But we've been taught to know that when two omnipotents meet, that something's going to take place, you and God. And so I hope you didn't come tonight to meet with the pastor or to meet with the deacons or to meet with your best friend and go out to Dairy Queen afterwards, although that's okay if you do, but that's not why we came tonight. We came to meet with an omnipotent God. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to be in your presence. Lord, we don't want to take it lightly or just as another Wednesday night that we can mark off of our calendar, but Lord, we believe that you have something for us tonight. Lord, we believe that every service when we come together is ordained of God, Lord, that you're going to do something, that you're going to speak something and speak through some person, whether it be through the minister or through the tape or through the songs, whatever it would be, Lord, that you're going to have your way and that you'll speak to hearts. And Lord, I just pray tonight that you would help me to get myself out of the way so that you could speak something that would be pleasing unto you and that would be helpful to your people. Lord, may you get the glory in all that is said and done. Lord, may lives be changed. May hearts be encouraged. May we go out of here strengthened, Lord, and closer to you than we was when we came in. Lord, we'll give you the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. That AC is working pretty good, Brother Layton. I may leave it on for a minute. Amen. Thank God for a new AC. Amen. We struggled through for a week or so here, but we were trying to get it fixed, and then they told us the unit was so old and obsolete that we couldn't get it fixed without spending almost as much money as a new one. So So we got a new one. Appreciate the trustees and their help working through all of that. And you know, it seems like it feels good in here tonight. So praise the Lord. And we'll use it for a couple weeks, and then we won't need it till next year. But that's all right. It's 90 in September, so I thank God for air conditioning. And the pastor brother from Norway and his family that is here, is good to have them with us. And haven't had a chance to meet him yet, but I was hearing him sing in the basement there. And I was thinking about Noah and that the words there, troubles he had some, but not from above. I think we can all testify of that tonight. Amen. You may have troubles, but not from above. Amen. You may have trials. You may have tribulations. You may have things going on in your life. But there's only one thing that comes from above, and that's good things. Amen. He sends us good things. And sometimes he allows trials, but even if he's allowing the trial, it's a good thing. Amen. Troubles he had some for not, but not from above. Though here rejected, but not from above. You might have been rejected by your family. You might have been rejected by your friends. You might have been rejected by your coworkers. But if you're one of God's, you'll never be rejected from above. So I'm thankful for that tonight. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. I want to read one verse there tonight. And then we'll move over to 1 Kings and read part of a verse there. And Joshua here, they're getting ready to make a decision, and each one of us comes to times like that in our lives as individuals, as families, as churches. We come to times of decision where we have to make a choice. Brother Branham said in Choosing of a Bride there in 1965, he said there comes a time when a man has to make a choice, what bride that he's going to choose, and then the wife has to make a choice whether she's going to accept this invitation to be his bride or not. We have a choice in many different things. Thank God in this country we have freedom to have a lot of different choices of things that many other countries don't have the choice in, and I thank God for that. And sometimes with those choices we make the right choice, and sometimes we make the wrong choice, but we have a choice before us. You have a choice. Nobody made you, well, at least if you're an adult, and maybe if you're a child, somebody made you tonight, but nobody made you as an adult come to this church. Nobody is twisting your arm saying, look, you've got to go to this church. You have a choice in the church that you can go to. Maybe some of the small ones or teenagers, maybe they didn't have a choice, and maybe when they first started coming, they didn't want to come. But then now I believe most of them, if they had a choice, they would still pick here. And if not, when they get to the age where they can make that choice, they'll have to make that choice for themselves. So we have a choice in these things. And Joshua and the children of Israel had come to a time of decision. And he says here in verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. We have a choice. He said, if it seems evil to serve the Lord, then choose you. Who are you going to serve? Because you're going to serve somebody. You are, you know, I don't care what you are, if you're an atheist, if you're a Christian, if you're a message believer, if you're a Buddhist or a Muslim or whatever you are, you're going to serve something, and we have a choice in what we're going to serve. We can serve God, we can serve the devil, you can serve your addiction, but you're going to serve something. And so he tells them, let's make a choice. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He was going to make a choice, and by grace and by revelation, Joshua made the right choice to serve the Lord. He said, look, everybody doesn't have to do it the way that I do it. Everybody, I can't make everybody be a believer in Jehovah. I can't make everybody believe the law of Moses. I can't make everybody walk the way that I walk. But as for me and my house, we've already made this choice, and there's no going back to the gods on the other side of the flood. There's no going to the gods of the Amorites or the gods of this one or the gods of that one. But he said, I'm making a choice, not only me, but for my family as well, that we're going to serve the Lord. So I hope tonight, by God's grace, you've made the same choice.
First Kings chapter 18, verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. They're at a time of decision here. Now again, in the days of Elijah, the children of Israel, and they were at a place of between a strait, as Paul would call it, where they had a decision to make. They were starting to do some things with Baal, with the God of Baal. They were beginning to dabble into those religions and worship a little bit in those ways, but yet they wanted to hold on to their ways of worshiping Jehovah as well, and try to kind of crossbreed the religions. And you know, a lot of people do that today. They want to have one foot in the world and one foot in the Word, but you can't do that. You can't halt between two opinions forever. It comes to a point where there's a time of decision where you've got to go forward with God or back into the world. You can't stay halted between two opinions forever. Brother Branham said, actually, if you do stay halted between two opinions too long, it can cause amnesia, in spiritual amnesia. 1962, he tells us that. He said it can cause amnesia. Not only just physical amnesia sometimes, but sometimes when it comes to spiritual things, it can cause a spiritual amnesia as well. I believe we've seen that even around our own message ranks, that some people, they halted between two opinions too long. Were they going to go forward with the message, or were they going to go back? And was Brother Branham a vindicated prophet, or wasn't he? And they would go to this person and ask, and that person and ask, and they could never make a clean choice for themselves, and they halted between two opinions too long. And we find them out in spiritual amnesia now, that they don't know where to turn or what to go to. And they tried the Baptist church and that doesn't work, and they tried the Pentecostal church and they're not satisfied there, and they go out into the world and they're not satisfied there, and they try to come back around the message and they're not happy with that, and we find them wandering around in spiritual amnesia because they didn't make a choice, a clean cut decision with God. Young people, middle-aged, old alike, I would encourage you, if you haven't made a clean-cut decision tonight, I would make tonight be the night that, hey, it's time for me to make a choice what I'm going to do. I'm not going to dabble around this all my life and be in and out and up and down, but I need to make a choice. Is God real, and does he really care about me, and is this message right, and are we following a vindicated prophet? Make a choice tonight. Amen. It's choosing time.
Man, I'm going to have to take it off.
Amen. I knew that wouldn't last long, but I thought it'd last longer than that. Brother Branham teaches us that, and I want to look at this. Well, we'll get to it in a minute, what the thought is. I'm not going to do like Brother Hoover and wait till the last five sentences of my sermon to tell you what the title is, but I'm going to wait just a little bit longer. Brother Branham talks and teaches us, and most of us as little children learn as well, that there's five senses of the flesh, and that see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. And most people have all five of those senses. Most people are born with all five of those senses. Some people, because of a birth defect or because of an injury or because of a disease or an accident or whatever, they may not have all five of their senses. But most of us, by God's grace, we have these five senses. And Brother Branham tells us that God gave you those five senses to contact your earthly home, to be able to navigate your way through your earthly home. If you're missing one of these senses, then there's going to be parts of this life that you're going to miss out on because of the lack of this sense that other people can enjoy. If you don't have the sense of taste, then there's going to be some things that you're going to miss out on that you're going to be thankful for. If you have to go and you know, you've got kidney stones or something, they make you drink that gray junk or whatever to do a scan on your body, you're going to be thankful that you don't have the sense of taste. Or if you eat broccoli or something like that, or sauerkraut or something like that, you may be thankful that you don't have the sense of taste in times like that. But there's going to be other times when you're going to miss out on a lot of things. When somebody sets a big piece of bacon or a juicy steak or something before you, I'm losing the people already tonight. They're thinking about where they're going to go to eat after church. But there's going to be things that you'll miss out on because that you don't have this sense of the flesh. And if you don't have the sense of feel, then you could burn your hand just to the point of blistering it and damaging it badly because you don't have the sense of touch to be able to feel when something's burning. Or you could step on a nail and go for weeks or months and an infection set in, not realize you did it because you don't feel the pain. And sometimes, you know, we get so scared of pain sometimes, and nobody likes pain, but when you don't feel any pain, you realize sometimes pain is there to set boundaries for us. Sometimes pain is there to protect us from getting into trouble. And sometimes God allows hurt and God allows pain to prevent you from getting into something worse. I don't know about you. I'd much rather burn my hand a little bit on the stove and say, goodness gracious, than not have any pain at all and just sit there and my hand melt away because I couldn't feel it. All right? So sometimes God allows. I was just talking with the family the other day, and they were sharing with me their testimony. And I can say by God's grace, I have the same testimony that they said, you know, they felt like they had gone pretty far out into the world and done some things. But they said, no matter how far we would go or no matter how far we would run, it seemed like God would set up boundaries around us that, no, you're not going to go any further than this. I won't allow you to go any further than this. It wasn't that they didn't have the physical ability to go further than that. But God had placed a boundary where it just seemed like they couldn't cross that line. Oh, I don't know about you. That's my testimony tonight. I ran and I ran. But when you're one of God's, you can run, but you can't hide. And he will only allow you to go so far. And he'll say, no, I'm not going to let you cross that line because that's going to cause you troubles down the road that you don't need to have. I thank God that he allows that. I thank God for his grace in that. Brother Ben teaches us that then we have five senses of the Spirit, which are imagination and conscience and memory and reason and affection. And those things, you know, if we didn't have those senses of the Spirit, it would be hard for us to interact with one another. It would be hard for us to go through a normal life. You look at somebody that has Alzheimer's or dementia, they have no memory of many of the things in their life. Or maybe they can remember way back to things they did as a little child, and you could ask them, oh, who was that you used to play marbles with as a little boy or girl, and they could tell you their name, they could tell you what grade they was at with them in school and where they sat beside them in English class and all of that, but may not be able to remember if they ate breakfast or not that morning, may not remember the last time that they took a bath or the next time, last time that they took a drink of water. And so, you know, there's some things that many of us wish that we could just go in with a little magic eraser and erase out certain memories. And Lord, I wish I didn't have these memories of the past, and I wish I didn't. But when we think about it, we're also thankful for our memory because God placed it there for a reason. Now, sometimes Satan will use that as an accusing memory against you to say, don't you remember what you did back then? But God can turn right around and use that same memory and say, yes, but God loved me enough to forgive me of it. Amen. I may have went here and I may have did this and I may have stooped in sin. And yes, I have those memories that I have to struggle with. And I have those memories that the devil tries to fight me with. But I also serve a God that was more than able not only to forgive me, but to cast them into the sea of forgetfulness where he don't even remember them anymore. Amen. That's the God that I serve. Oh, Satan will try to use your memory against you, but turn it around and use it against him and say, that's right, Satan. I remember when I was on that bar stool, or I remember when I did this, or I remember when I did that. I remember when I got into trouble down there with the law or whatever it was that you did. But I also remember another time. I remember another night when I came to an altar when the devil told me there was no hope. But yet I remember a time where I knelt in prayer and that Jesus Christ came and met me. He wasn't just the pastor at the altar. It wasn't just the deacons praying for me at the altar. It wasn't just that the evangelist had preached a good message, but God came down and settled the old account forever. Oh, remind him of some things in your memory when he tries to come and remind you of some things in yours. Amen. Remind him of some things tonight. Oh, your loved ones, they did this and they did that. And oh my, you know, there's no hope for them. They're out here doing this. Oh, that's right, Satan. I remember when they made a choice to walk away from the truth. I remember when they made a choice to go out into the world again. But I also remember a night when the Holy Spirit was present and that the pastor or the evangelist or the tape was preaching. And I began to feel something anchor down on the inside of me that the token is stronger than their running. The token is stronger than their sinning. The token is stronger than their backsliding. And I came to an altar and I claimed them that night. And I'd like to remind you of that, Satan. Oh, hallelujah. This isn't where I thought we were headed tonight, Brother Ben, but we'll go with it. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Amen. He's better than the notes. Amen. He's better than our ideas of how the service is going to go. Amen. He's good to us. Oh, man. My, he'll try to fight you with your imagination. And he'll try to tell you, oh, sister so-and-so has something against you. And brother so-and-so over here, he don't want to fellowship with you anymore. And I think I heard sister so-and-so snickering at you the other day in the parking lot. And I thought I heard somebody saying something bad about you down there in Walmart. And, oh, he'll try to use your imagination against you. What about this? And what about these bills that are due? And what if your boss has been kind of mean to you lately? What if he fires you? Then what are you going to do? And he'll keep you awake at night with your imagination trying to drive you crazy about bridges that you haven't even got to. But yet there's another way that you can use your imagination, and even though Paul said it hasn't entered into the hearts of man what it's going to be, you can sit there and think about, you know what, all my trials may be a little heavy and my burdens may be dragging me down, I may be a little discouraged, but my, all of these things down here in the temporal, all of these things are just something that's going to fade away one day, and I'm going to be over there walking streets of gold. And I'm going to be over there with my loved ones that have gone on before. And, oh, I can imagine looking at the pictures of them, what they look like as an 18 or a 20-year-old boy and girl. And to be able to walk down streets of gold arm in arm with those loved ones that maybe they was in their 80s or their 90s when they passed away. And maybe their bodies were feeble and broken. And maybe their memory was gone. But I'm going to see them in a new body. Oh, my, I'm going to walk with them, Brother Hoover. I'm going to talk with them. And not only that, oh, we've only got Hoffman's head of Christ for us to be able to imagine what he looks like. Brother Bam said it was the closest that anybody could paint under the anointing of what he looked like. But he said no artist could ever touch the features of his face. No artist could ever touch the features of those eyes when he would look through those eyes of compassion at you. And he said a man that looked like he was humble, but yet looked like if he would speak, the world would cease to exist. He, all might, to be able to look into those eyes that looked down through eternity and saw you and saw me in our fallen estate and said, I love him anyhow, and I'm going to come and die for him anyhow. We'll be able to look into those eyes. Amen. When the devil tries to use your imagination, flip it right around on him. Oh, my goodness. And that's just the senses of the Spirit that the devil can try to attack us through once we're born again. And, you know, the senses of the flesh, you know, the old nicotine demons and the old lust demons and the old alcohol demons and drug demons that Satan would try to attack us through the senses of the flesh, those things weaken to us a little bit. But now the devil will come and he'll try to attack you through the senses of the Spirit and say, but look what you did, or look what you could have done, or look what this person thinks about you. But let's turn that around on the devil. But that's not even what we want to look at tonight. We want to look at this last sense that Brother Branham talks about. That's the sense of the soul. The inner realm of man. The outside, you know, Brother Branham talks about us being a triune being. It's hard for people to realize the concept of God being a Trinity being, but yet being one at the same time. But if you know by faith and by revelation the message of the hour, it shouldn't be hard for us to be able to recognize God being one in three offices, not three persons or three personalities, but God working as one God in three separate offices. When we think think about how that we are a triune being as well of body. You've seen my body. You've seen my face and my hands, and you've shook my hands and you recognize my face. But Brother Bram said, you've never really seen the real me. He said, I've never really seen the real you down on the inside. Then there's a spirit of man that when life is breathed into, the breath of life is breathed into a child, the spirit comes in. That's life. The animal has life. The different things have life. But yet there's another realm, the inner man, that only the human being has. The angels don't have it. The animals don't have it. But God placed something down inside of a man called a soul. And Brother Branham said there's only one sense of that soul, and that sense is self-will. Self-will. And you can only approach God through one of two channels with that sense, and that's with faith or with doubt. You either believe or you disbelieve, and that's the only avenue to open this channel of the soul of self-will. Brother Bram says in the Messiah in 1961, he says, then on the inside, he has only one gate, one entrance to go into the Shekinah glory where God can enter into him and take over in the control tower. And that way is through self-will. Whether you will to or not, that's up to you. But that's the only avenue that's open to the man that God can come into his heart is by self-will. Puts him right back like Adam and Eve on free moral agency again. You can choose right or wrong, either one you want to. God places us back on free moral agency. Now, when God created man in the garden, and he takes from man from his side, and he places a rib within him. Now, God had created angels that would worship him only because God had commanded them to worship him. They didn't have a choice of, well, do we worship today or do we not worship today? God created angels to worship him. And so that's actually, Brother Bam teaches us, when he became God, because God means an object of worship. He was the eternal one. Out there, he was the self-existing one out there in eternity. But now that angels are created, he has something to worship him, and now he becomes God, an object of worship. But I'm so thankful that God didn't stop back there and wasn't satisfied with just expressing his attribute of self-existence or his attribute of God, but now he wants to come and express his attribute as Father. He wants to express his attribute as Creator. He wants to express his attribute as Redeemer and Healer and Savior. And the only way that he could do that, he couldn't place Brother Anthony down here and say, I'm going to make you fall so that I can save you and be a just God. But what he could do is place Adam and Eve down in the garden and place them on the basis of a law of free moral agency, that by their self-will, they could choose which path that they would go. And God knew which path that they would take, but he didn't make them take it. He left them there on free moral agency. We get predestination mixed up wrong sometimes, the exact opposite of the way Brother Branham taught it. We take it to extreme Calvinism if we're not careful and say, well, God, you know, just is going to push us through one end of the tube and pull us out the other and say, blessed is he that overcometh. He said, that's not what predestination is, but predestination is by foreknowledge. God looked and he knew what you would do and he knew what your choice would be, and he placed something down on the inside of you by election, and he looked down through eternity and said, that's my son and that's my daughter, and I know that they're going to have struggles, and I know that they're going to fall on their face many times, but I also know there's something down on the inside of them that no matter how bad it gets, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how bad the scene looks, there's something on the inside that is holding them, that even when they want to let go, they won't let go. Oh, aren't you thankful that he loved you that much? And he placed us down here on free moral agency. God does not do like a lot of men do and grab us up by the nape of the neck and say, look, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And bless God, you're going to serve me and you're going to go here and you're going to do that. God is a gentleman. God is a gentleman. And, you know, I was thinking of this in relation to how that Christ and his bride, how that the husband and wife, they're supposed to type the how that Christ loved his bride and he chose her and he elected her, and how that the man is supposed to love the wife as Christ loved the church, and how that the woman is supposed to respect the husband as the bride respects God. And when we look at this parallel, I was thinking the other day, I wonder how long we as human beings, as men and women, would put up with God if he ran his house the way that we run ours.
You just let that one sink in while I get a drink. How long will we put up with God if he treated us the way that we treat our husband or the way that we treat our wife? You see, many times we get this idea of headship all wrong. And it's not because the message taught it wrong. And it's not because the Bible taught it wrong. But it's because of generations of wrong actions and wrong teaching. And if we're not careful, we begin to look at things and bless God, I'm a type of Christ. I'm a type of God. So you're going to do this and you're going to do this and everything I say is right. Hey, if there's anybody that can say that everything he said was right is right, it's God. God went through, you know, a lot of us brothers, we would go to build something. I couldn't build a toolbox or a birdhouse without having to say it. But some of you brothers, maybe you could go and you could build a house and things like that. And you would frame it up and you would do all kinds of different things. And maybe parts of it was hid behind drywall and maybe parts of it was hid behind wood and things like that. But you know, there was a part that I got wrong over here in the corner. But thank God it was in the corner where those studs were and I could kind of hide it and you know, put drywall in front of it. Nobody can see how crooked that nail is and how uneven that board is, or you know, whatever it would be. But we can't make anything that's perfect, but God made the heavens and the earth and the galaxies and everything that there was and all the animals and man, and he looks back and he says, it's all good. Every bit of it was good. So when you talk about a husband being right, my, if anybody could say, hey, I'm right and you're wrong and that's the way that it's going to be, it was God. But God didn't even put us down here on that basis. God put us on the basis of free will and of free moral agency and self-will. Why would he do that? Because he loved us that much that he didn't want us just to love him because he said so, but he wanted us to love him by a relationship of choice, to be able to look around and we could look, you know, like some of you did with your husband or some of you did with your wife, and you look around, you looked all over Jeffersonville and Clarksville and Sellersburg, and as the song said, I looked all over, looked high and low, couldn't find nobody. That's talking about Jesus, you know, but that's how a lot of us looked for our wife. I looked at this camp, and I looked at that camp, and I looked at this banquet, and I looked at that banquet. And I looked up here in this state and down in this state and over here in this country, couldn't find nobody. But then one day, Mrs. Wright or Mr. Wright or Ben or Crystal Wright or whatever it was, somebody that was right came walking along. And you began to look and you thought, you know what, there's something different about that. Now, maybe there was 500 other girls or 500 other boys in that camp or in that church or whatever it was. But you looked at them and there was something that was different about them. And you know, you didn't hopefully go after them like some stalker or some creep and say, look, I'm going to marry you and you're going to like me whether you like it or not. But you began to woo them a little bit and you began to talk to them a little bit and say, hey, you know what, there's something about me that I think you'd be interested in because there's something about me that's interested in you. And you begin to have a little bit of a courtship and a relationship, and you begin to get to know each other better, and you begin to realize there was things on the scripture that you agreed about, and the way that you wanted to raise your children was the same way, and you thought, oh, thank you, Lord, I've been looking everywhere, but finally you sent me somebody, and now there begins to be more than just an attraction, but there begins to be a mutual respect, that she begins to love certain things about you, and you begin to love certain things about her, and oh my, you like the way she cooks this, and she thinks you look so cute the way you tie your tie, and you know, that one was for Sister Anna Mae, and oh my, the way he ties his tie, there's just nobody that can tie a tie like him, and there were certain things about it that, you know, that you begin to look, and you begin to be a mutual relationship, and now all of a sudden it's a relationship of love, that she chose me,
yes,
and I chose her,
yes,
and that's what God desired. God wanted this relationship on a mutual benefit of self-choice and of self-will, that you could look down and you could have looked out here in the world and you could have looked all over. You could have looked at partying and you could have looked at drugs and you could have looked at alcohol and cigarettes and dances and all kinds of things that was going on out there, and you could have looked at careers that would have flown you all around the world and kept you away from church all the time and so busy you couldn't spend time with your family. You looked at all those things, but you kept coming back to this one thing. You know what? I need a relationship with God.
Right.
All these other things out here that the devil has to offer, oh, they look pretty and they're shiny and all that, but there's something about it. You know, maybe you tried a few of them and you thought, that just doesn't satisfy what I'm looking for. Right. Maybe some of you brothers, you went out and dated other girls before you met your wife, and you just thought, you know, I couldn't put up with her. She drove me crazy. I would have to get a job that would fly me all around the world and keep me away from my family for it to be a success. Because we would be like this all the time. There we go. We'd be butting heads all the time. And she would want to do it this way. And I would want to do it that way. And you realize this wasn't for you. Her parents had raised her a certain way. And your parents had raised you a certain way. And but yet there was something one day. You looked and you found somebody. And, you know, I know there's some countries that still the parents choose and things like that, but I'm thankful. I love my parents, but I'm thankful they didn't get to choose for me, Brother Jonathan. Amen. I don't know if they would have chose the same one or not, but I question, you know, whether their choosing would have been the same as my choosing, because maybe they were looking for different things than I was going to look for. And their spreadsheet would have probably looked like, do you promise that you will always live in Jeffersonville or New Albany as long as you both shall live? Well, I'm sorry, you don't pass the test. Next. They would have been looking for different things than exactly what I was looking for. So I thank God that he didn't allow, you know, we get this mentality sometimes if we're not careful. This little Catholic mentality creeps in around the message that somebody else did the choosing for us, and that if we don't please Brother So-and-so, and if we don't line up with a certain doctrine, a way a certain group's teaching it or whatever, then we're just out. But hey, they don't get to do the choosing. It's a relationship between you and Jesus Christ. The pastor doesn't get to do the choosing. God didn't set me up as a matchmaker to say, oh, would you go over here and find this one in this city and then bring them and you know, no, it doesn't work that way. God has a direct relationship. He doesn't need to send an errand boy to pass a note and say, hey, would you check yes or no about serving God? He's man enough to come. He's not in seventh grade or fourth grade. He's man enough to come and ask himself, look, I came and gave my life for you. Is that enough? Or is there something else that I need to do to win your attention? I've sent signs and wonders. I've revealed mysteries. I've sent prophets. I've parted seas. I've stopped storms, and I've stopped the sun. And I've done everything that I could do for you. Statue of a Perfect Man, 1962. There's only two elements that controls the human being. That's either doubt or faith. One or the other. You're possessed of one that dominates your life. You're dominated by one of these things, either doubt or faith. Now, your self-will is the channel into this. It's the just like the senses of the flesh. You have channels into certain things. And you wake up in the morning, and that channel of your sense of smell begins to trigger, and you think, my, it smells like my wife is cooking biscuits and gravy and coffee. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And it's she's reaching you through that sense of smell. Then there's the senses of the spirit, as we talked about. But the only channel through this sense to the soul is self-will, and you only have two choices. You don't get five like with the senses of the flesh, or five with the senses of the spirit. But you have two choices on your self-will: either you can believe or you can doubt. And everything that you do, every decision that you make, every choice that you make in life, it is either influenced, or as he says here, it dominates your life, one of these two choices. Either you can believe or you can doubt. You're either influenced from above or you're influenced from below. And you can look back at some of your decisions that you made in life, and you can see very plainly when you look back 5 or 10 years down the road, and you look back and you think, well, I can tell which direction that was being influenced of, whether it was good or not. But there's doubt that can control you, and fear can creep in and say, well, you know, I believe God's word is right, but I don't think I have the faith that I need for this or that. I don't know if I have rapturing faith. I don't know if I have faith for healing. I don't know if I have faith to operate these gifts, or I don't know if I have faith to believe certain things about the word, or I don't know if I have faith for salvation or for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Brother so-and-so, I believe he's got it, and I believe he's got the faith, but what are you, you're being controlled by doubt and by reason, and doubt begins to come in, and by self-will, you make this choice. I'm not sure, so I'm going to choose just to step over here. Or by faith you make a choice, and your self-will steps out and says, look, I can't explain it. I can't scientifically break it down and explain to you the healing process. I can't explain to you how an action 2,000 years ago is impacting my physical body tonight. But all I know is I've seen it in action, and I believe it, and I accept it. And by self-will, you make that choice to receive it or to not receive it. He said, you're possessed of one that dominates your life. He says again, Revelations chapter 4, part 3, 1961, self-will. Why will you call that self-will, Brother Branham? Because it puts a man and woman back again, just like Adam and Eve at the Garden of Eden. On what? The two trees. Self-will. This one is death. This one is life. Self-will. He says, free moral agency. God placed the first man, Adam and Eve, right here on free moral agency. He places you on the same place. And the only way that you can get the thing fixed in here is your own self-will. He says, hallelujah, your self-will. You have to will to do God's will.
All right. Amen.
Oh, my. Free moral agency. We'll go back to that just a moment. That God placed us here, and I'm so thankful that he gave us a choice in the matter, because I don't think we could have truly loved him in the way that we do now if we didn't have a choice in the matter. If we hadn't had a voice, if we hadn't been able to go out and say, look, there's other things out here, but I look around and there's nothing better than the choice to serve Christ, and there's no one that's going to treat me as good as Christ. And, you know, others have made promises. The devil has made promises. Maybe your boss at work made promises. Maybe family members made promises, and maybe they would keep them sometimes and break them, but even their best promises didn't weigh out in the face of the promises that he gave you. And he always backs up his promises. He always keeps his word. So really, it shouldn't even have to be a choice, but yet it is. But it should be an easy choice for us. You weigh up everything the world has to offer, and you weigh up everything God has to offer, and it goes higher and higher and higher, and you think, how can I even compare that to this moth-eaten thing that the world has to offer? Everything that the devil has to offer, all of his lies, and well, you'll get a little bit of enjoyment, and you'll, you know, drink your sorrows away and all these things, but what does it produce? It produces heartache, and it produces sin, and it produces troubles, and it produces all kinds of, when you begin to serve the devil, there's a price that goes along with that, and the penalty thereof is death. But before you get there, there's all kinds of other things that he tacks onto it, and you wind up heartbroken, you wind up alone, you wind up with liver failure and with lung failure and all these different things, because you listen to the devil's lie instead of accepting what God had to offer. Amen. He says your self-will. You have to will to do God's will. So we make a choice. Every choice that we make, he says, we're possessed by one of those two things, faith or doubt. And so you can go along and say, I know it's right to do this. I know it's right. I know I'm going to regret it, but I'm going to make this choice anyhow. Well, you'll pay for it, but you can make that choice. And there's nobody with a gun to your head tonight saying, make the right choice. But you can make whatever choice you want. You can choose whatever church you want. You can choose whatever spouse that you want. You can choose all these things in life. You can choose the school that you're going to send your children to. You can choose all these different things. But there's many times, if we'll seek the will of God in our life, we find out there's right choices and there's wrong choices. And maybe the right choice, and I'll say usually, the right choice is not the easy choice. Remember what God spoke through Danny Henry there when he came down and interpreted, or he spoke in tongues and they interpreted it. It was actually in French, but Danny Henry didn't know French. And he comes down and he speaks this, and the verb and the adverb being flipped, as Brother Bram said, with the French vernacular. And a man comes down that's the interpreter for the UN, and he says, that doesn't need any interpretation. I'm the interpreter for the French, for the UN there. And he says, I can tell you what he said. And he said, because that you chose the harder path. Because he chose the harder path. Oh, there was a lot easier paths that he said they'd offered to build him million-dollar tabernacles, and they'd offered to fly him around on private jets and things like that. Oh, a lot of these guys that their names end in dollar and different things like that, they would have loved that. Oh, show me the money. Where do I sign? And fly me up there close to God. You know, they're so sad. Their idea is, oh, get me up there close to God where I can pray, and they ain't any closer to him than I am in the darkest, deepest cellar or cave in the world. God doesn't fly at 30,000 feet. He flies everywhere.
Amen.
He said, I'll be with you even in you till the end of the world. But he made the harder choice. And he said, your self-will, you have to will to do God's will. God doesn't stand there like a lot of us and say, now, if you do that, you make that choice, and that's it. That's all she wrote. You do this, you cross this line, you do this. God says, look, I'm going to place you down here on free moral agency. I'm going to let you on self-will. And there's going to be some of you that from a little boy or a little girl, you're going to make most of the right decisions. But every one of us came to the world born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the earth speaking lies. As I think I've told some of you before, but we was having a little Bible study one night in my parents' basement. And usually it was just us brothers, but there were a couple times that we opened it up for some of the sisters to come as well. And there were some sisters there that time. And we began to share some testimonies and things that we'd gone through. And one little sister raised up her hand, and she was sharing with us how that she had struggled for so many years because the devil would just keep condemning her because of the worst thing that she had ever done. And we all kind of tensed up. Oh, what is this going to be? And she had looked over at another little girl's paper in school and had cheated on the test. And the devil had beat her up about that for years. And I thought, oh, Brother Lee, if I could have her sins, if she would just trade me for a little while, if that was all that I had to regret and that was all that the devil could beat me up about, I would say, oh, Lord, I am sorry for it, but I'm also thankful that's as far as I went. And some people, maybe that's as far as they did go. But guilty of the least is guilty of the whole, the Bible said. Even if that was all she ever did, if she could sit there truthfully and say that was the worst thing she ever did, she still needed a Savior. She still needed a Savior just as much as the worst sinner in the city. No matter how righteous she was, her righteousness would not avail for her sins. But we needed one that was completely righteous. And so we have to make a choice. God places us down here on free moral agency, and he says, make your choice. And many of us for years and years and years, we make the wrong choice. And it's failure after failure and heartache after heartache. But if you're one of his, eventually you're going to have to recognize, look, I'm sick of living for the devil. I'm sick of living this way. I'm sick of living with guilt and shame and regret. And God doesn't offer any of those things. He offers freedom and peace and happiness and joy and comfort. And you bring all that, all your guilt and your shame and your grief and your regrets, and you bring them up to the altar, and God gives you a fresh new robe and hands you that and says, I forgot about all those already. Amen. That don't mean the devil won't beat you up about them for a long time, but as soon as you confess it. Brother Branham said there were people that would come into the prayer line, and he'd tell them, now you make that right before you come into the prayer line out there. You don't come into the line with unconfessed sin or it'll be exposed. And people, you know, there was people sitting out there that had things in their life, and they begin to say, Lord, you know, my prayer card's next, Lord, and you know what I did last week. You know what I did last month. Lord, you know I'm not worthy to be standing here, Lord, but I just ask you, please forgive me, Lord, and I need this request, and you know I'm wanting to do what's right for you. And they get up there, and the prophet of God doesn't expose anything, because he said what's under the blood he doesn't even show his prophets. You mean they didn't have to repent, and they didn't have to do penance, and they didn't have to whip themselves, and they didn't have to go through 6 months of trials and testings and make sure that they really, really meant that they were sorry for their sins? 3 seconds later, stand in a prayer line. I see light all around you. There was darkness there, but now I see light all around you. How do you do that, Brother Nathan? You have to will to do God's will. It's a choice. He said you have to get rid of your own will to let God's will come in, for this is the only channel that leads to the heart. God is not going to pull a John Wayne on you and kick in the door and come in with a two-barrel shotgun and say, look, I'm here to take over. He's not going to do that. He'll knock ever so gently and say, I'm still here. You haven't ran me away. All your sin and all your running, you may have thought I left, but I'm still right here. I'll knock every once in a while and see if I can come in. I'm still right here. Some of you that ran, you know what that's like, to get out there somewhere and a little conviction come in and God knock at your heart and you think, oh Lord, you mean you're still convicting me after as far as I came? There's still something there holding on to me and wanting to call me back? Lord, are you sure? Don't you know? Oh, he knows. He knows, but he loved you anyhow. Amen. Loved you enough to give his life for you. Loved you enough to shed his blood for you. Loved you enough to come and suffer enough to sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane for you. He loved you that much, knowing how far that you would stoop. And then he didn't come and say, look what I did for you. Look how much I gave. And you mean you're going to be in a bar at 19 years old? You're going to be out here doing this, smoking a cigarette at 25 after what I did for you? Forget you. I'm not knocking anymore. No, he's still there patient. I'm still here. I still love you. I'm still waiting. You're one of mine. I'm not going to lose you. You can run as far as you want. You can run as hard as you want. I'm not going to lose you. And he would be there patiently. He didn't kick in the door, but he'd knock every once in a while to remind you that he was there. And one day, by self-will, he said, Lord, I'm done with all this other. I'm opening up the door and letting you in. The only way you could do that was by your own self-will. The pastor couldn't make you. The deacons couldn't scare you into it. Nobody made you do it. But all of a sudden, in a church service, or maybe you was driving in your car, or maybe you was out in the middle of some sin, all of a sudden something just stopped you where you was at and said, look, don't you know? Don't you know I love you? Don't you know how much I care about you? Don't you know I paid a price? And you thought, Lord Jesus, what have I done? Like the prodigal son. And then he came to himself. He didn't come to himself in a Hampton Inn with a nice big pillow, a feather pillow. He came to himself out there in the hogs, wallowing out in the mud. And he got to looking at them old, thrown away corn husks, thinking, hey, get back, piggy. I'm getting this one for myself. He was so hungry. Sitting in the hog's pen, eating the pig slop. And he thinks, what have I done? I've got a father back at home. He's got servants that's paid better than I am. Maybe he just let me. I know I've been a stinker. I know I've been a mess. I know I've gone so far and I've wasted and squandered and sinned. And here I am in a pig pen with mud all over me. A wretch. But maybe he'd let me be his servant. Maybe he'd let me be. I can imagine him, Brother Hoover, come walking home. I know how I'd be walking home, Brother Jimmy. Oh, goodness. I'd be tiptoeing home. What is he going to say when I get there? What is he going to do? Am I doing the right thing? I mean, I've seen how he's talked to me and my brother a few times. I don't know if this is the right thing or not. What's he going to say? I know what he did when I broke Mama's china dish one time, and that ain't nothing compared to all this that I've been doing. How is he going to receive me? How is he going to receive me? Is he going to be standing there saying, I told you so. I told you so. I told you you'd regret it. No, thankfully, he's not like a lot of us parents. He's a good father. Thankfully, he's a better friend than we are to our friends. Thankfully, he's a better spouse than we are to our spouse. And his father, I can imagine him, Brother Trevor. Every few hours of the day, he'd go out to the kitchen window and he'd peek out down that road and see, honey, is he coming yet? No, honey, you know he's been gone for years. Why do you keep going every day and doing that to yourself? Why do you keep hope? Honey, he might be dead for all that we know. No, something about it, I feel like he's coming home. He'd raise up the blinds and peek through that, look down that road. No, he's not there. And maybe of a night he'd go out and stand in the doorway, pace back and forth. Lord, you gave him to me. You gave him to me. I know he's coming back. I know. I don't know what all he's done, but I don't care what he's done. I believe he's coming back. And he's pacing in the door. And one day he sees him, Brother Luke, and he's coming down the road. He didn't stomp his feet and say, slam the door and say, let him work for it. Let him earn it. Here he takes off. My son! My son!
Oh, hallelujah!
And you wonder sometimes, if I go to the altar, will he care? That was just a type of an earthly father, of a man that was born in sin and shaped in iniquity like we are. And Jesus Christ standing there every service with open arms. I'm here. Every time you wake up in the morning, he knocks at your heart. I'm here. I'm waiting for you. Not as a judge, as a loving father with open arms. But he's not going to make you do it. The prodigal son's father didn't go out there and yank him up out of the mud and shake him and say, you idiot, don't you know who your father is? He let him come back on his own. With self-will, he let him make the choice. Sometimes it's the hard way that we choose. But I couldn't have loved him as much, Brother Darrell, if he didn't let me make the choice.
Cain and Abel had a choice. One with their self-will made the right choice. One made the wrong choice. It's all down through the Bible. I was going to go through some of them, but we're already almost out of time. Esau and Jacob, Judas and Jesus, Demas and Paul, Lot and Abraham, Saul and David. They had choices before them. Lot looked over at the beautiful land of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it reminded him of Egypt. Oh my, I bet I could be popular over there. I bet I could make more money. I bet Sister Lot could wear some nicer clothes. But he didn't see in the future what it held for his wife. He didn't see what it held for his family. He didn't look at that. And Abraham there in the tent in the plains of Mamre was content with Elohim at his tent door. He didn't need a mansion. Just give me Elohim at my tent door and I'm satisfied. Amen. Just give me Elohim, whether it's a mansion or a cottage, whether it's a shack, whether it's the side of a garage with an old mattress on the floor. Just give me him. Expectations, 1961. Now that's the same way we are tonight. We can take his word and be healed, or we can leave it and walk away from it and not be healed. We can have eternal life by believing on him, or we can walk away and not have eternal life. It's up to you, self-will. Amen. You mean whether I'm healed tonight or not is up to me? That's what the prophet said. Amen. Whether I have eternal life or not is up to me? That's what he said. It's a choice that you make. Yet God knew what choice you would make, but he didn't force you to do anything. The man there, I hope this is okay to say, Brother Hoover, I won't name names, but he was talking about a situation where he had prayed for a man.
And another, well, boo devil.
Amen.
Hold on to that one for me.
There was a situation where he had prayed for a man. And then where another brother had prayed for a different man. And both of these men, they were on disability. And they'd wanted to pray for these brothers that God would heal them. And they said, hey, don't you pray for me. Don't you pray for me. Don't mess with my disability check. I don't want to be healed. I'm happy the way that I am. And I told Brother Hoover, I said, you see now why Jesus asked the man, wilt thou be made whole? Because some people don't want to be healed. Some people don't want to be saved. Some people don't want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, they might get emotional in a service and say that they do, but when it really comes right down to it and the choice of their self-will, there's too many things that they're comfortable with out in the world that they enjoy too much, and it would be too much out of their comfort zone to really get saved or to really get the baptism of the Holy Ghost or to really get healed. It would be out of their comfort zone. There would be too many things that they would have to stop doing, and there would be too many things that they would have to let go, and there would be too many things that they'd have to leave back there in Laodicea. And their self-will says, I'm good. What a sad condition to be in. Revelation chapter 4, part 2, 1961. He says, you know what that veil is that veils your heart from it? Are you ready? The veil is called self-will. He says again, the church in its condition, 1956. Oh, Brother Branham, don't tell me I never received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Down at the night there one night. Oh, when he come in, I could just walk on. Sure, that was him. Oh, I felt so good. I felt like I could get every little bird out of the tree and hug it and love it. My wickedest person that ever done anything to me. I felt like I could put my arm around him and hug him. Oh, Brother Branham, how I felt. Sure, that was the Holy Ghost. But you see, the reason he couldn't abide. You was a lamb then, but when you become a wolf, he had to take his flight. Nothing wrong with the dove. It's you. Let me say tonight, if there's anything wrong in the Bryant household, if there's anything wrong with Church of the Open Door, if there's anything wrong in my own personal life, it ain't a problem with the dove. It's a problem with me. There's been plenty of times that I've been wrong, but he is never wrong. Nothing wrong with the dove. It's you. And you let that spirit come into you. Oh my, what was it? You felt his presence there at the altar. You felt that baptism of the Holy Ghost. You came out and felt like you could run through a troop and leap over a wall and you could love your best enemy and all that. Your worst enemy, I guess. Worst enemy, best enemy, however you want to say it. And then a little bit of bitterness began to creep in. And you began to talk about your neighbor and you began to run this one down. And that dove, he just flew off. Oh, he's waiting there close by. But the scripture says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. wherewith you're sealed until the day of your redemption. Grieve not the Holy Ghost. He said, you let that spirit come to you. Did I let it, Brother Branham? Yes. When you went to listening to that gossip, oh my goodness. When you listened to that lie, when you went to saying, well, I've got a right to. Oh goodness. Brother Nathan, I got a right to do this. I can wear what kind of clothes I want. And I can cut my hair and I can watch what movies I want. I can go out here and live like I want. Oh yeah. Yeah, when it comes right down to it, as an American, you have a right. But as a Christian, you don't have no rights.
Amen.
He said, well, I got a right to. You haven't got no right. You are bought with a price. Amen. That was the precious blood of the Son of God. You have no legal right. Hallelujah. He says, the only rights you have is come to the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. When sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. Yes, sir, that's the only right you have, is a surrendered self-will to God. And from then, God does the leading from then on. I think that's one of the hardest things that God can ask us to do as individuals, as human beings, Brother Arnie. Lay down your self-will and give it to me. But God, this is in my best self-interest and my human nature, my self-preservation, this, that, or the other. Brother so-and-so would laugh at me if I went to that church. Or sister so-and-so would lose all respect for me if I went down to the altar. This one at work would make fun of me if I went down there and got to speaking in tongues or dancing or shouting. Or what would someone... Surrender all that. Say, Lord, here's my will, and I'm surrendering it to you. Lord, I'd like to do this. I'd like to go on vacation here. I'd like to buy this house. I'd like to go over here and do this. I'd like to be this in life, or I'd like to do that. But Lord, let me lay at your feet and say, Lord, what would you lead me to do? What is your will? Lord, I'd like to go over and smack that guy in the mouth that said something bad about me, but I can't see that being your will. Lord, I'd like to go and do this, and I'd like to straighten this one out, and I'd like to do that. But Lord, is that your will, or is that the Bryant or the Hoover or the Pierce or whatever it is in me rising up? The Path of Life, 1962, he says, break my own self-will out and make a new person in Christ. Grant it, Lord. That's the desire of our hearts. That's why we're here. Again, Revelation chapter 4, part 2, 1961. Clean our hearts and come in, Lord. Break down the self-will. Let my will in thee be thy will, Lord. Oh, will thy will in me, O God. Will thy will in me. Is that your desire tonight?
Amen.
Sometimes that goes completely contrary to our human will. Even Jesus, here he was, not just a portion of the Holy Ghost like we have, but the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Emmanuel, God with us. But yet his own flesh, the flesh part of him, the flesh desire, the flesh didn't want to get smacked and his beard ripped out and beat on the back with a cat of nine tails and spikes ran through his hands and his feet. He didn't want that. He didn't want a crown of thorns forced down around his head. Yet he knew if he didn't do it, that his bride would be lost, and he loved her that much to go after her and to redeem her. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, if it be thy will. Brother Branham said, they asked him, who was he praying to? He said, the same thing you do, the Holy Ghost on the inside of him. And here, the flesh, the man part, struggling with this so much that he would sweat blood knowing what was before him, and the flesh not wanting to do it, and the flesh would say, if it be thy will, let this cup pass. My flesh doesn't want to do this, but yet, watch how he ended the prayer. Not my will, but thy will be done. Oh my, I want to preach a sermon sometime on praying like Jesus. We'd be a lot better off if our prayers weren't just gimme, 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 Lord, give me more and more. If we'd say, Lord, not my will, but thy will. Lord, I want to see this happen, and I want to see that happen. I want to be blessed over here, and I want my kids to have this, and I want to see this, and I'd like all this to happen, Lord, in the matter of about 3 weeks. If you could just do that, thank you, Jesus, amen, and go to bed. But if we stop and say, Lord, not my will, but may thy will become my will. May I yield my self-will so much to you. May I, Lord, I have a choice. My free moral agency, I could go out and do this or do that. As I've said before, I have a choice tonight. I could go out after service if I want and go down to the liquor store and get the biggest bottle of Jack Daniels that they've got. I have that choice. I could go do it tonight. There's no law is going to stop me. The police aren't going to stop me. But I don't want to do that. I've made a better choice. But that choice is before us all to do right or wrong. Those two trees are before us again tonight. Good and evil. It's laying there before us. But Lord, not my will, but thy will. Break down my self-will, Lord. Break down my stubbornness. Break down my desires. Break down my anything that would be contrary to your will, Lord. But thy will be done. Is that your desire tonight? Amen. Musicians, if you'd come tonight, let's just bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, Lord, as that young man Jesus talked about in the parable years ago, I can imagine how discouraged he was coming down the dusty road knowing there might be judgment, there might be scorn, there might be rebuke, there might be ridicule. Oh, he might have to face rejection. His father might send somebody and run him out of the yard and tell him never to come back. He didn't know what laid ahead for him. But yet something inside him compelled him. He's a just father. Maybe he won't let me be a son. Maybe he'll let me be a servant. But I'm better off back there than I am with these pigs. I'm better off back there than I am in the slop of Laodicea. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. We need you, Jesus. Lord, in our humanness, we're so stubborn sometimes, Lord. Lord, it's so hard for us to lay down the things that we want and lay down the things that we've imagined and lay down the things that, Lord, we feel like this is fair for us and this is what we deserve and this is what, oh, but Lord, is it your will? Lord Jesus, help us, Father. Lord, we want to come back to you. If we've strayed, Lord, if we've gone further than we should, and we feel you compelling us tonight, don't keep going down that path. There's nothing but heartache down that road. You're going to wind up in the pig pen like the prodigal son, eating the slop of the world. You've got a heavenly Father, a good, good Father to come back to. Help us, Lord, to listen to that tug, to that still small voice on the inside of us. Help us to lay down whatever it is that's holding us back. Popularity or family or friendships or prestige at our job. Whatever it is, it's not worth missing an eternity with you, Lord. Whatever it is. Lord, maybe we'd have to forgive somebody that we're holding a grudge against. Or maybe we'd have to lay down bitterness that we've held on to since we was a child because of the way we was treated or made fun of or something that happened in our past. Lord, help us to lay all of that at your feet. Help us to lay down all resistance and all self-will and just surrender completely to you, Father. Lord, we surrender to you tonight. We surrender our will. We surrender our desire. We surrender all that we are, Lord. You love us. You're calling to us again tonight. Lord, maybe there's some here that thought they'd gone too far, but Lord, I hope by the end of this sermon tonight, they realize that you're still calling. You're still there waiting for them with open arms. Help us, Jesus. Lord, if there's any that's fought against it and trying to hold back, Lord, may tonight be the night that they let down every wall and every barrier and say, Lord, I completely surrender myself, not just part of me, not just the easy parts to lay down, but Lord, I surrender everything to you, all my will, all my desire. I surrender it to your will. You do the leading. You do the guiding. You do the choosing. Lord, I depend on you. Lead me, Lord. Help me, Father. Lord, may it not just be for those in the audience, but for me as well tonight, Lord. Lord, if there's any places in my life, Lord, that I haven't yielded like I should, may I lay down everything tonight. Anything that would hinder that fellowship between you and I, Lord, I don't want anything there in the way. I want that channel to be open so perfectly, Lord, that slightest nudge or whisper that you could communicate and tell me, and I'd say, yes, Lord, I'll go. Even if I don't want to go, even if my flesh, it's not my desire, Lord, I'll go if it's you that's leading. Help us, Jesus, to be that sensitive to the Spirit, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for all that you do. Oh, let's sing it to him tonight. Oh, I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. All that I am, Lord, I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand, Lord, my life is in your hands, Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in.
Myself away so you can use me.
me sing this tonight. Oh, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. Let's sing it this way tonight. Oh, all to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior wholly thine, and let me feel thy Holy Spirit true. Fill me with thy love.
Lord, anything that would be unpleasing. Sister had asked if I'd sing this song tonight. I didn't know if it was going to work out, but after the direction the Lord took me about our memories and things like that, I believe it's very fitting. Amen. I think most of you know it by now, so help me sing it tonight. Now and then, an old friend of mine I've not seen for some time. Oh, we'll stop by and ask me where I've been, what's on my mind. Oh, they wonder why I'm not drinking and still painting this old town. Tell them I'm serving Jesus now, and that old man, he's dead. Thank you, Lord. Oh, and the man you see before you, he may look a lot the same. I may wear the same clothes, I still got that same old name. Oh, but you're just looking on the outside. But if you could see inside instead, oh, there's a brand new man, for the old, old man is dead. Oh, I used to live such a wicked life, had no hope. Was lost in darkness, just searching for the light. Oh, but then one night in a little church, after just hearing what the preacher said, I gave my life. And the old man is dead. Is that your testimony tonight? Yes, I still wear these same clothes. I've still got that same old name. Oh, but you're just looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see brand new man, 'cause the old man is dead. Oh, help me sing it tonight. Why don't we stand and sing it? Oh, the man you see before you may look a lot the me try this verse one more time. I believe it's a lot of our testimonies. Now and then, an old friend of mine I've not seen for some time. Oh, they'll stop by and they'll ask me where I've been, what's on my mind. You see, they wonder why I'm not drinking. They can't figure out why I'm not painting this whole town red. But I give them my testimony. I tell them I'm serving my Jesus now. Oh, and that old Nathan Bryant, he's dead. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, and the man you see before you may look a lot the same. Yes, I still wear the same clothes. Still have that same. You're just looking on the outside. Oh, you're just looking on the outside. But if you could see inside instead, oh, you would see there's a brand new man for the old. Slip up your hand and give him praise. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for changing me from that old creature that I was. That old man, that old woman that I was that used to go and do things that was unpleasing to God. And here, now I sit in church in heavenly places with Christ Jesus in an atmosphere of the Holy Spirit where he can keep working on me, where he can get a hold of my children, where he can deal with my family, where he can take care of the problems that I couldn't take care of on my own. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing this together. Oh, we are born again. There's really been a change in me. Oh, we are born again, just like Jesus said. And it's all because of Calvary. Oh, I'm glad, so glad I've been born again. Is that your testimony tonight? Tell somebody tonight. Oh, I'm born again. Oh, there's really. Thank God I'm born.
Brother Nathan was preaching, talking about grace and the Father running after us. None of us deserve that. I was just thinking that, I'm not going to sing that song, but I was thinking about that song, Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus. How deep it goes, church. How wonderful He is to us, isn't that right? Let's just bow our heads and just pray and praise His name. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so glad and so grateful, Lord, that You, our Father, ran to meet us when we were coming back with our head held low. Lord, You had every reason and every right in the world to shoo us away, to tell us to get off Your property, but Father, You ran. You ran with compassion to meet us. Father, what a type and what a testimony that is. Father, as we stand here and receive that forgiveness, as we receive that compassion, Lord, I pray that we would then see that example that You've set and that we would respond in kind. When there are others who aren't deserving of our love, when there are others who aren't deserving that we should take them back, when there's others, Lord, that hurt us continually. Father, I was just reminded how I was speaking with a sister that many years ago didn't take my advice. Now has come back and started asking me all these different things. And Lord, I just know I was sitting there feeling, well, why are You asking me? You didn't do what I said a long time ago. And Father, I got aggravated. But Father, then Your grace just came down and said, And I thought, Lord, do I do this to You? Father, do I aggravate You the same way that I'm aggravated by this situation? Lord, probably more times than I would care to admit. So, Father, as You've shed Your grace abroad to me, and as You've shed Your grace abroad to all of us, Father, I pray that we would go from this place saying, Lord, let the deep, deep love of Jesus abide in each one of our hearts. Father, may You encourage us and give us the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, that we could give out Your love as well, Father. That when we are tempted to be aggravated at someone, Father, that we would respond in the same love that You respond to us. Father, as someone hurts us, Lord, that You would that we would learn to respond in the way that You responded to us when we hurt You. Father, this Christian walk is a reality, Lord. It's not just a bunch of fun and games, Lord. I just reminded of that so clearly tonight, Father. How much You've done for us. Lord, we're so thankful of it. But may it not stop there. Change us, Lord, that we might live and love like You. Bless us now as we're dismissed, Lord Jesus. Lord, let these words that have been preached to us tonight, Lord, may we dwell on them. May we meditate on them all night. And tomorrow, Lord Jesus, may we give them the chance to really work the change that You would have it work in us. Grant it, Father, we ask, and dismiss us in Your grace. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. These that are praying can stay and pray as long as they want. If you want to stay and pray with them, you can. If you want to be dismissed, you can. Let's sing this together.
Oh, born again, there's really been a change in me. We are born again, and it's just like Jesus. I'm glad
My greatest joy is knowing
And that's just His way of telling me He loves me. And it's a love beyond all human understanding. And I won't question trials that bring me to my knees. That's just His way of telling at Your feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Oh, sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over. Your feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. I can hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small, O child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. For Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. Oh, sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Oh, I know Jesus paid it all.